Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, back from Tennessee, and man, what a drive! Weesh. And of course, what a drive! As I was heading back, the markets had opened higher. It looked like we were going to have that rip your face off rally, and the next thing you knew, they were trying to sell them off a little bit. And as they get turned lower, and then out of nowhere. In the middle of the day, the markets decided that, okay, it's time to turn and go to the moon. And I would say that the timing was, as the markets looked like they were going to start to break down a little bit, at 144 yesterday, the markets exploded and the Dow went up about 400 points from that point. And it was just, again, out of nowhere. And of course, now we've now taken out yesterday's low and we're lower on the day. And again, you know, we talk about these things often that the markets are, in my opinion, they're ready to go down. They're ready to break it. And there should be no surprise here. Again, when you say, you know, we felt and have said since January 29th that the top of the markets are in. And, of course, if you look at it, you will see that the pattern is lower. We made, you know, we're now consolidating down around that 23.5 level. But look for the lows to be taken out from January or from early February. And, you know, again, you're seeing higher volatility and the volume is coming on the downside. So there's every reason to believe that the markets are going to head lower. All right. We're not going to go ahead and, you know, just sell. And again, one of the things, if you're investing, you know, you're not a total seller. You know, if you're investing, you let the markets trade, you do your thing, and that's what you do. Okay. If you are a trader, then you look for opportunities to get short. And that doesn't mean you sell the bottom. It means that you find an opportunity, you find a rally like yesterday, for example, and you sell. Now, again, today there was the overnight talk of trade wars and all kinds of poppycock. And of course, the uncertainty puts the markets a little bit on edge. And, you know, you see some selling. But of course, this is really panic driven. So what you should be looking for here now is, you know, from a trader standpoint, is a spot where if they just flush them, then they're going to get another rip your face off rally. You know, nobody remembers because it's been so long since we had any real volatility. But I believe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, we had 5 days in a row that had over 300 point moves. So this is not unusual. This is not new. What you have to remember is to how to go ahead and trade into a market that is going to have some volatility, which means that you look for big dips to be a buyer and you look for big rallies to be a seller, and you want to lean to the short side here. I think that only makes sense. I don't see any reason to be on the other side of the market. You know, if I'm a trader, you know, if I'm an investor, it's a different story. You know, this is the thing. And of course, you've got every genius expert on TV telling you buy, buy, buy. And again, I'm not saying that we're not going higher. I would, again, tell you, as you've heard here many, many, many times, is that the markets do go up year over year. They just don't go up every year. So, you know, if you're just investing and you don't want to be bothered by the day-to-day potential opportunities, then you just simply hold on to what you got. Let's hang on to what we got. No, I know I don't sing well either. But This is where you understand how the market works, right? The markets are ready to go down. And these are the same geniuses that said in 2008, you know, buy. And then 2001, buy. And of course, that's the issues. You know, if you remember the movie, The Big Short, and I forget the guy's name, but the Bear Stearns buy, and the stock was 30, and it was down to 28, and you go, buy more. And of course, it went to zero. And again, I'm not saying that we're going to zero, and I'm not trying to panic the world here. But you are seeing only a reason for the markets to go lower right now. There is no reason for them to go higher. There is no news that should be driving them higher. The economy sucks. Again, we can hear all the good news we want. I don't see that good news. We've got nothing really that is all that exciting. And plus the fact that the markets are overpriced. Okay. So again, if you're going to count on, you know, the news is too late. You know, this is the whole thing is being blamed on tariffs and trade wars and all this other crap. And we know that the markets were ready to go anyways. We didn't have this information. The markets price in future numbers. And that's why you're seeing markets get, you know, beat down across the globe. And, you know, we are in right now a sell first, ask questions later. And of course, a lot of the algorithms kick in, but you know, it's not, these are not just algorithms. These are people that are panicking and starting to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And again, you will see another rip your face off rally, as you will see more selling. But the key is to watch the trajectory of the pattern. And if you just even go back to around the 12th of March, what do you see? You see lower highs and lower lows basically on a daily basis. Okay, now you get these rallies, but the rallies seem to never take out the top. They never seem to take out the upside. So why would I want to be so bullish here? The pattern is certainly suggesting that it's going down. So there'd be no reason to step in here from the long side. Now again, it matters if you are investing. Well, then, of course, you would consider, you know, getting long here if you're investing. All right. If you are trading, then you would not be getting long here. You know, and the difference is when you invest in a market, you're taking money that you're not going to need tomorrow, that you're going to just go ahead and put it and let it work for you. And knowing that year over year, it will go higher. And that's what you'd be looking for. In the meantime, obviously, the typical solution to all that is hedging. And then you don't ever have to worry. And then you'd never look for any other alternative asset anyways. You wouldn't need it because you'd be hedged against the market. But, you know, you have these things happening and the dollar is moving up a little bit. And, you know, of course, that's our black swan event is the dollar, which will be the crippling effect on interest rates and everything else throughout the globe. And you want to make sure that you're in tone and in tune with what the markets are telling you. That's the whole thing that we look here. What are the markets telling me? Okay. The markets are telling you that they're weak, that they want to go down. All right. That's what they're telling you. Okay. And that's what you have to focus on, is to look for what is the market telling you. In the meantime, it is great to be back from Tennessee. What a rough drive I had from there. Phew. Had to stop a couple times because the rain was, you couldn't even see. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, don't forget about our high school investing program. They keep talking about it, and I keep trying to talk to people about getting it done. And of course, that's why I need some help. And it's, if you want to help us out, it's at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can also download the Sporting Edge there as well. And of course, our new Crypto Investor X show with Matt Demeter. In the meantime, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's the Bubba Show. It's me, Todd Bubba Horowitz, freshly back from Tennessee and tired. But anyways, so, you know, as you heard and you saw me on Fox and you hear what we're talking about, and of course, you know, I think you take a look at gold and silver, and I think, hey, the relationship between gold and silver is ridiculous. In my eyes, you can only right now be a seller of gold and a buyer of silver, all right, as a spread. We're at 83 to 1, which is absurd, but it is. That's what it is. And again, one thing I just want to remind you is I am correct on this relationship, okay? But I don't want you to go crazy, start, you know, playing it like a wacko, because one thing you have to remember is that even though we are correct, you want to make sure that, you know, that you don't get trapped and getting forced into make to have a major meltdown. And you want to make sure that you're not going to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to make a decision to get out because you got in too early or you tried to guess it. That's why you have to be very defensive in this whole deal. And that's why I say to you that, you know, you want to wait for opportunities. And, you know, if we look for the gold and silver type deals here, you know, you don't want to be, you know, totally running in, because it's showing you that the upper end of the range is really just what it is. It's really still in a big range. And I think that gives you a better handle and a better clue as to where it's going next. You know, there's not as much fear that you might think from the metals, which is where a lot of people run to. Now, again, I don't believe in that. That's not my deal. You know, I don't think that you do run, you know, into all of these things. I think that you continue to, you know, do your thing. And I think that you want to watch for the opportunity. And I think that if gold gets up to 13, you know, 60, it's certainly a sale there. Now, it may break out. But again, that's what you have to be prepared for. You know, I think that, you know, that is the picture that we try to portray, is you want to buy the rubber band when it's stretched, or sell the rubber, you know, depending on one side. So if you get stretched to the downside, you want to be a buyer. If you get stretched to the upside, you want to be a seller. And I think that is something that, you know, we have to continue to always monitor as we're looking to be traders. And, you know, and again, you look at what are you? Are you trading? Are you investing? And I think that is something that is always the key as we look at things. And of course, you know, we have a minor sell-off in oil, but, you know, in the meantime, oil has come back down from around the 66 to the 62 level. And, you know, obviously, you know that I feel that we're going dramatically lower. But I mean, you know, not tomorrow. I think that we're going to go down to, you know, 58 and probably get a bounce. And, you know, again, this is one of the things that you look for in the markets on a regular basis. And you see that, you know, even the treasury bonds, you know, are higher, but they're not exactly exploding. And I think this is where, you know, you have to understand that's just saying that, you know, interest rates are going higher. So right now we've had a little bit of a temporary reprieve, and I don't think it's a reprieve at all. I think that interest rates should go higher. I'm a big fan of having higher rates here because I think that it changes the dynamics. I think these low interest rates are stupid. Okay. Of course, that's kind of what I think about the people who make the decision on the interest rates. So now, again, obviously, I can't make that statement from an education standpoint because they're brilliant. But from a actual functioning of the overall system, I think they have no clue. That's just the way life goes. You know, we're being led around by the nose, by the ring in our nose, by a bunch of people that don't have any idea. Or if they do have an idea, they don't care about their idea. So I say that, you know, we need to look, you know, for the signs of what's happening. And I think that the signs have been pretty clear. I mean, I think that you've seen the peak in oil. I see you think the peak in the markets. And again, it doesn't mean we're not going up again. I don't think oil is going up again. I mean, again, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think we'll ever see oil at $100 again. Now, again, I could be wrong, you know, but certainly based on what I can connoiter here and configure, I don't see that happening. But, you know, again, if you just remember that these are everybody who's calling all these crazy numbers are the same people that called all the crazy numbers all the way in history. And, you know, every time there's a big meltdown, they go, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. But in the meantime, you know, as you look around at the factors that you would you know, decide to look at, you just look at some of the key stocks that are just getting hammered, obliterated. And you know, we want to hear the blame. It's the trade wars. It's the trade wars. That's a bunch of BS. This is going to be, in my opinion, this whole thing is going to be the best thing that ever happened. We're going to finally get on a fair an equal playing field with the others, and you know, we won't be giving away the shop. Now, I just hope that we get into a position that we actually start really taking care of everything else as well. You know, it's one thing to develop, you know, tariffs and trade wars and then to resolve it, because there's no question in my mind that they're going to resolve this. There's no question in my mind we're going to come out the better for it. But the real problem is that what the idiots in Washington do, you know, even if we do get everything right, you know, we still need to have that fiscal responsibility, which we don't have. And that is more of the problem. But of course, these tariffs and these trade deals were made, in my opinion, to advantage the big corporate anyways. All right. You know, they weren't put in place for you and me. They were put in place for, let's say, Caterpillar. They were put in place for Boeing. You know, so all these bad deals were to benefit big corporations or the lobbyists. And this was stuff these were the bill of goods we've been sold forever. And certainly, I don't know about you, but it makes me want to puke. I'm so sick and tired of all this nonsense and rhetoric that goes on about this. I mean, we are getting ripped off by our government because they just keep spending because they can tax us. I mean, again, this is the simple issue that as long as we have a central bank in place, as long as we have a Congress and a Senate and a government that is not responsible for the money they send, knowing that they can print more if they need it, which is against the law, but that's a story for another day. But in the meantime, that is why we have these issues. We should have never been in these trade deals to begin with. This is not something that should have ever been allowed. And again, it's not Obama's fault. It's not Bush's fault. It's not anybody's fault except all of them. All right. You can blame them all because they all did it. You know, this president today is the first one that's standing up. You can like him or not. It doesn't really matter. But there's one dispute I don't think you can have is that he does not have the best interest of the American people in his mind. And I think that's a fact. The way that I look at it, because again, I'm not looking at it from a one day wonder or whatever. I'm looking at how they're going to attack the future. And I do think that it does make it better. And it's about time somebody had the stones to step up to the world and say, hey, we're not going to keep giving away everything for nothing here. We need to be, you know, taken care of, and we need to do it right. And I think that makes it a heck of a lot better. That is just my opinion. That's not a fact. That's my opinion, but that's how I see it. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you know, I do an update every day at BubbaTrading.com. All you have to do is, if you want to get my daily update, just go to BubbaTrading.com and I'll email you the update every single day right after the close. In the meantime, when I get stuck in Tennessee with no technology. But in the meantime, also, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can get the show and get everything else. And of course, we've got great programming besides the Bubba Show right there 24 hours a day. So check that out. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bobrowitz. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bobrowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're going to go visit with Real Rally Radio and John Jenkinson. Here we go.
Commodity rent by any means, and a good friend of ours. Good morning, Mr. Todd Bubba Horowitz. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, John. Planes, trains, and automobiles. Where's John Candy when we need him?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Market reacted. I would say probably overreacted because some of this was already built in, wasn't it?
Oh, I think so. I bought corn this morning. You know, it was down like 14 cents. You know, you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the markets are, you know, they always overreact. It's like, you know, shoot first and ask questions later. And I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing some panic into the markets. This is tit for tat with the, you know, the U.S. and China right now. And it's going to resolve itself. I think it's going to be actually much better and more powerful for everybody when it all gets done. Again, we have to go through some of these tougher times, and certainly look at the price where we are in grains today versus where we were 6 weeks ago. We're a heck of a lot higher, even with all this tariff talk. I mean, you know, so to me, I go, okay, so you're getting a little bit of panic here. And for a trader or for a speculator, we love to see this kind of panic because it's just a buying opportunity. I mean, if we go back to the 19th of February, corn was at 360. Now it's at 380. So with all the talk and all the bad stuff, here we are. We're still up 20 cents from there. So
that's a very good point. And you're exactly right. No matter what, China's going to need the soybeans. And Argentina didn't have a very good crop. And even if they got every bean from Brazil or South America, I'll just lump Argentina in there. The rest of the world still needs soybeans, and somebody's got to supply that. We're still a global market, and I think that you're exactly right. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said panic.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't worry about these things. There's nothing has really changed, you know, market wise. And unless we're going to go to a magic pill where we're not going to have to eat anymore or need, you know, wheat or flour or, you know, soybeans or corn, I guess that, you know, we won't have a problem. And again, I think that there's going to be, I look at this as a great buying opportunity. And I think that's what you're seeing pretty much across the board. I think that this has been the panic that we've been watching. And of course, you know, after yesterday, it looked like maybe they hit some kind of resolution because we were up real big. And as I said to you on air yesterday, I would probably be a seller here looking for a pullback to about 370. And sure enough, we came down to 372 in corn. So, you know, again, I don't worry about these things. I don't think it means anything. It's gonna resolve itself out because the two superpowers that are involved right now, neither one can afford to be without the other.
That's a good point. That's what I like about you, Todd. You're always looking at the positive of something. But notice that soybeans kind of put a drag on corn and wheat along with it when this all broke.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, all over the news. If you know, I've been listening to the news since about 2 o'clock this morning, and all it says is, "Oh, they're going to affect our soybean exports." And I go, you know, it's amazing because the soybeans were always used when they wanted them to go higher. You know, China's going to bring soybeans in, right? And you know, that's, I'm going back when soybeans were $4, and now when they, you know, now they're going lower. Well, soybeans, they're not going to use it. This is, to me, unfortunately, I don't want to get beat, but this is a crack. And again, to me, it's a buying opportunity that I would look for opportunities here to say, hey, it's a good spot to possibly step in and buy some more here. My one concern has been soybeans, as you know, and it still remains soybeans, and we're a little bit below that support that I wanted to see hold. But I would not even be surprised if we had a big rally back today. I don't think they'll get positive on the day, but it would be no surprise to me if we saw some buyers come in when the actual markets open up at 9:30 Eastern.
Oh, I don't doubt that a bit. I mean, look at this. We started out, what was it, 50 cents lower in the soybeans? And when I came in and started checking markets first thing this morning, we were close to that. Now we're 40 away, so or 40 lower. So we are coming back already on this. Notice though, it affected the outside markets as well. Crude oil, the Dow, some of this other stuff. The only thing that left was untouched, basically, was gold.
Well, actually, gold rallied, but see, gold is another story, because gold is really just in a big old trading range, which it's been in for 3 months now, and until it goes above 1360, it means absolutely nothing to me. I would still be a seller of gold at 1360 until it breaks out. I think that oil, I think, has gone to 58, which I've been on that bandwagon before any of this happened, and I thought the equities were going to break, and you know, we had some crazy rally yesterday in equities at 144 in the afternoon. Something happened, and the markets went straight up as I was driving back from Tennessee, and you know, who knows why, but here we are going back to where we belong, and the equity are going to break down here. They're going, I think, significantly lower. Now, again, I would not be at all surprised to see a rally in equities, you know, as I like to call them, the old rip your face off rallies that'll come, you know, today to maybe later today, maybe tomorrow. But overall, we're making lower highs and lower lows, and that just indicates to me we're going a lot lower.
Todd Bubba Horowitz here with us. Todd, hang on the line. We'll be right back. We need to take a real quick break. In fact, your friend of mine, Tim Ross, is going to step in here in just a moment, bring us up to date on the weather forecast. We've got more coming up on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM. Bubba Horowitz here this morning of Bubba Trading. Yesterday was another ugly day for the livestock, and I was just surprised that we saw that May lean hog contract that was operating, by the way, in expanded limits, go ahead and test and go past those, you know, into that expanded limit and close lower. Fundamentally, there really wasn't any reason for that, was there?
Well, I guess if you want to blame it on the tariffs and the trade war, you can. But of course, as we know, one of the biggest hog producers in the world is Smithfield, which is owned by the Chinese. So, you know, I think this is some forced liquidation, John. You know, I was looking back at some things because, you know, I've noticed that every day late, like at the last, you know, the last trade or so of the day, it's always on heavy volume and it's always down. And to me, this looks like, you know, the ending of, I think there's some, you know, forced liquidation going on. I think there's some people being forced out, and maybe somebody, you know, is it got too big of a position, you know, because obviously you're seeing things that aren't logically and they don't make sense. So I think that's really more what you're seeing here, and this will resolve itself as well. And I think that you're going to look for, you know, again, I wouldn't say jump in today, but I'm certainly looking for the market to stop going down, and I would look for much higher prices.
I used your term yesterday, the tap on the shoulder. I'm glad you explained all that to me while you were here. By the way, we had a great time while you were here. I really appreciate you stopping in and visiting with us.
I thought it was great. It's great to be out, and I love trying to educate, you know, everybody what goes on, because it's really what the market reads like, John, not all the news. The news is ancillary on the outside of it, but because the markets move ahead of it. And I think that you see this panic coming in, and you want to take these huge rallies or these huge panics as opportunity, because I think they really are opportunity. And that's one of the reasons I always tell everybody that it's just easier to be protected and have your farm hedged against events like this, so that you can step in and take advantage of them instead of panicking and figuring out what you're going to do once it happens.
You know, you make a good point. There's an opportunity coming in the hog market, and that would also, you could basically see the same thing for the live cattle market, where we went down, got below $100 on the, I think it was the June and the August contract. It fell to the 99 levels. We're getting into a territory here now where opportunity is probably just around the corner, if it's not here already.
I agree 100%. I mean, again, I had bought cattle yesterday, and you know, I'd gotten out before I got on the road, but it was amazing, because once again we saw the markets right at the close of the day, get hammered. And they, because they were trying to rally all day, and all of a sudden at 1:56 Eastern, in came the biggest volume bar of the day, and down they went. And that's when they printed 99.55, and then of course closed at 99.75. But again, you want to wait until this stops going down. And what I mean is, we don't know exactly when, but you want to wait. You start to see a little bit of buyer step in. And again, we have to watch this close. This is a that trade was 100% forced liquidation, or what we call the tap on the shoulder.
Why is it all of a sudden that we seem to be having these quote unquote taps on the shoulder here late in the trading day?
Well, that's usually back in the old days when there wasn't so many computers, there was margin calls, and they came in towards the close of the market. And I think what happens is you've got the person doing the tapping, which would be the brokerage firm or some of the banks. They wait and hope that they see more positive price action, but then they don't want to go once the market's going to close. They don't want to sit and hold and wait for what could possibly happen overnight. So they say, okay, this is it. And it's forced liquidation. And if you go back and look at about the last 5 days, every day at about 12:56, boom, down goes the market.
Now, this forced liquidation may continue then in some of these cases until there's probably a little more cooler and more level heads that are making some of these decisions. Or maybe I should say reacting to some of the news with this tariff stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll stop. And as I like to say, and you know, one of my other sayings is the markets don't announce themselves. And one day we're going to come in and that's going to be done. And they're going to start going the other way. And, you know, whether it would be today or tomorrow, I think that goes back to looking at a pattern of the trade. And the pattern right now is still on the longer term charts is down. If you look at the shorter term charts, you know, you'd see that they're starting to flatten out a little bit, which would be maybe an indication that we're getting close to that point where we'd want to step in. But we never want to be first in. We want to be in when we think we have a better chance and have a higher probability of being right.
Yeah, but you make a great point. There is protection on both sides of this. You don't have to just hang yourself out here on one side or the other. You can protect yourself on both sides, whether no matter which way the market's going.
That's correct. And you want it, the biggest key, and one of the things I always want everybody to understand is don't give up the opportunity for a big market, but make sure that you protect from a disaster. And if you do that, then you're going to be able to participate in the markets on both sides and not be distraught and upset when the markets unfortunately sometimes go the wrong way, which they do. And that's just part of the business.
Once again, it was such a great time that you came and spent with us here in Nashville, Tennessee. We had a wonderful time. We need to do it again real soon.
I'm coming back, baby. I love it. As soon as you and me go flying around the country together.
You know, I mentioned that to my wife, and she says, you should do that.
You should do that. We'd have a great time and go out and help educate everybody. I think that'd be the greatest thing ever. Honest to God, I think that'd be great. It'd be a lot of fun and hanging out with you.
I appreciate it. We had a great time hanging out with you. Todd Bubba Horwitz.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be back right after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, we're coming right back to you after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and it's the trade war day. I don't know. You know, I hear these guys talk, and it really makes me nauseated about when I hear all this crap. Because they, in my eyes, they have no clue how the markets really function. You know, I know that it's painful. You know, if you're long, it's painful right now, but it's really painful if you're a farmer or producer and you look up today and you see the soybeans down 40 cents and you see corn down 10 and you're worried about the trade wars. And just remember, this is all a negotiating tactic. This is not going to change anything. This is probably better in the long run. I mean, you know, just let's look at, you know, the chain of events that we've seen here. We've had a very nice rally in the grain markets. So, you know, again, a little bit of sell-off is not a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, obviously, because we don't want to ever give back what we've made, but it's not a big deal. I think that the bigger picture is simple. You know, I think we go higher. I think that this only, in my opinion, helps us. For the longer term, it flushes out a lot of the weeks and it'll force some to get short, which will help propel the next rally. So I don't see that as a problem. I see the meats, which I personally gotten destroyed on for meantime early here. But I see this as a forced liquidation sale. I see this as a as the banks panicking and forcing people out. You know, you got to remember, when you see big moves late in the day, that is very much consistent with a forced liquidation, not a real liquidation. And basically what we've seen almost every day is a quick push down late on volume. I mean, if you look at yesterday's volume at the close, when we pushed down the 99.55, that was done on the last bar of the day. Almost every day for the last couple of weeks, it's been the last bar of the day, which is just that again, that is more of a forced liquidation period. Okay. And when we go over the last 5 days, you look at the end of the last 5 days, there's a big volume spike right at the end with somebody getting puked out. And that's what exactly what that is. That's a puke out. All right. That certainly is something that we have to realize, and that's why we have to get over it. Again, it doesn't feel good because you're in it. But I would like to hear from anybody. If anybody's getting squeezed by the bank, I would really like to hear about it. And I'm just curious, because I think that's why you're seeing some of this heavy selling late, because it's always, you know, if you go back in history, they used to have margin calls. And the margin calls were based on, you know, the late in the day action. Okay. And of course, they came in late. And so you knew that if the markets were getting crushed, usually it would be a lot worse at the end because of margin. And I think that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing, I think, a little bit of a holdover. And I think that that is why you see this late day selling. Honestly, I would be looking to be a buyer, an accumulator here. But this is, again, goes back to one of the reasons that you should always be hedged. You know, if you're hedged, then you don't have to worry about this. And you actually benefit from these times if you hedge your grains and your livestock. Yeah, it costs you a little bit of money to do it occasionally. But what it does do for you is you never miss the big market. So you tell me, what is better? Is it better to sit there and try and hope that you don't miss the big market? Or is it better to be protected and then it doesn't matter? Okay. I mean, again, this is not something that, you know, is a problem. This is something that we're talking about all the time. All right. It's better to give up a little bit of the potential profit to get more of it than to take yourself out of the market and not be in. Now, again, in agricultural products, we're using those hedges for protection. So they don't get the compounding effect that we get from using it in equities, because equities were holding forever, whereas in our farms, our grains and livestock, we're going to sell them. So we're not, you know, we're trying to protect and lock in a higher basis. Isn't that the objective of what we do, is to create a higher basis for our program? And that's what we do, is we give you the opportunity to lock in a higher basis. And that really is more what it's all about than anything else, is to say, hey, I want to put myself in a better position in the future. And that's what hedging is about. That's why you should always be hedged, because then you never have to think about it. You know, again, I hate to be so redundant, but it does require some redundancy, because that's where we need to be. It has to be based on what we can do and where we can go, and where can we be protected. You know, it's the same kind of insurance you buy, but you don't mind using this insurance, because you can actually use the insurance, take the money, and then have it go the other way for you. You know, again, the kind of insurance we deal with and the kind of insurance we sell, you know, when you're hedging, is it gives you a lot more opportunity. And this is where I can't stress enough that you should all get in the habit, you know, if you're a farmer, producer, or an equity trader, or an equity investor, is to learn the hedging model. Because hedging is something that you can do that will, first of all, eliminate all the emotions that you have when you're in the markets in the first place. Everybody gets has a tendency to be emotional. Well, that if you're hedged properly, the emotions are gone. There is no more emotions. All right. So, you know, I urge you to look into it for yourself, because these big market days don't mean anything if you are hedged properly. You benefit in those times. Okay. You know, you can roll up and down your basis. You know, and in equities, you can compound that portfolio. And isn't that what you're trying to do? And that's what I'm trying to do, is to compound and make more and let my money work for me instead of work against me. And these are things, you know, that again, we have to be cognizant of so that we can be more prepared. And that's why, you know, I always, no matter what I'm saying to who I'm saying it to, I'll give you my opinion, but I will also tell you that if you're the owner, okay, you know, I'm a speculator, right? So I don't own a farm. I don't own grains. I trade them all. I'm an investor in equities, but I'm also a trader and a speculator in equities as well. So you have to trade accordingly to what you're trying to accomplish. So if you're a farmer producer, you're trying to accomplish to make sure that you don't go broke when things get crazy. Like, for example, right now in the hog and cattle markets, they're getting smoked. So now if you had been hedged for the last 30 points, you wouldn't be worried about it. So now it comes down to a decision, and your banker wouldn't be worried about it. So that's one of the things that we continue to stress, is you want to keep yourself out of harm's way. And the way that you do that is to be able to prove to yourself and not be feared or afraid out of something, and prove to your banker, if you do have one and they're giving you some heat, that you're protected, and they will understand that, and they will be much more lenient on these forced liquidations, which I can say that from my point of view, that's what I'm seeing, is a lot of forced liquidation. So this will soon resolve. And of course, I think we start to see prices go a lot higher again. So we'll see how it plays out. In the meantime, obviously, I do need the Heimlich maneuver because I'm choking on what I own. But I think it'll be fine. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, don't forget about our high school investing program. Trying to build it bigger. We're in 450 high schools and looking to get to more. And if you want to help out, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show there. You can also get the Sporting Edge and, of course, Crypto Investor X. This has been the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Thursday with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.